Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Thrive in EDU podcast. I am your host, Rochelle Denae Poth, and I'm very excited today because I actually have not just one, but two guests joining me on this episode. And if you've never listened before, I think you're going to be really excited because of the guests that I do have and the topic that we're going to cover, actually a couple of different topics. So if you are not subscribed, please do subscribe and continue listening or go back and listen to some other episodes too. So not to take up any more time because I really want to dive into the conversation with my guests. So first, we're going to start with some introductions and I want to extend a very warm and excited welcome to my guests, Vriti and Mike.
Hi, it's so great to, to be here.
Yeah, sorry, I kind of just threw you both in there at the same time. And I'll make sure, I'll say this ahead of time, I will be dropping a lot of links and information into the show notes. So if you're trying to keep up, if there's something we talk about, don't worry, it will be shared with you. And of course, you can definitely reach out to any of us for more information. So first, I will go to Vriti to do an introduction for anybody. And I've known you for a couple of years through different like LinkedIn and Twitter, X, all of the spaces. And we finally got to meet in person for the first time, which was awesome. And we got to learn together in a very unique learning experience, which no spoilers, but for anybody who is just hearing about you, learning about you for the first time, could you share a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Yeah. So it's great to be here. My name is Vriti Saraf, co-founder of i3DAO. I'm an educator. I did Teach for America way back when, right out of college. I taught kindergarten for a little bit, at a charter school in Brownsville, Brooklyn. And then I helped, and then I was a dean at that same school. And then I helped scale that school from two schools to 15 schools, where I created a development program for deans of instruction, and then also a residency program for teachers. And then I spent a brief stint at Pearson, learning about the corporate model and hated it and went straight back to schooling. And I actually ended up at this really cool opportunity where I got to travel around the world for 2.5 years building independent schools. So we built a school in Shenzhen, China, and one in DC. And so I spent a lot of time in East Asia and South Asia. And I was a network director of professional learning, so I got to visit schools around the world and learn from best practices. So I visited Reggio Emilia, Italy, and Woodstock in India, and we went to different places like in Bali and all over China. So the thing that I actually realized from all of those experiences is that there are actually very innovative educators all over the world, but the reason i3DAO actually was started, and then I'll kick it off to Mike, is that these educators are not sharing best practices with each other in a way that is actually impacting their classroom instruction. And technology is very rarely found in these classrooms in a way that's moving the needle. And so before I sort of dive into i3DAO, I'll pass it off to Mike to introduce himself.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I'm going to be asking you a couple questions about your background because it's just super interesting. So now on to Mike. Tell us a little bit about you and what got you to where you are today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Rochelle. My background isn't nearly as exciting as Reedy's. I've been a lifelong educator. So I've been working in the same district for almost my entire career, about 16 years. And through that time, I had the opportunity to teaching the classroom. I taught middle school, loved every minute of it. I think what was really pivotal for me, though, and kind of transformational for me early on was being a part of some of the early pilots when technology like iPads first started getting into classrooms. And I remember having the opportunity to pilot iPads in my class and talking to our school board about the impacts of this technology, and brought my kids in and was able to show them that my students were able to talk about stuff that's happening all over the world across all different time periods, not just what they see in their textbooks or what I could find in printed worksheets or things like that. So the idea that technology as a pathway to the world's information was really transformational for me and for my students. And so kind of from that point in the early 2010s on, I just really became fascinated with the potential for technology to change education. Seeing my way through a couple different roles and currently serve as a director of technology for a public school district in Pennsylvania. And we're spending a lot of time thinking about, you know, the latest wave of technologies, including AI. And so along those travels, I've always been just unstoppably curious and always looking for new things. And along the way, met Vridi through Twitter. She had posted, I remember this was like probably 2021, I think it was November, and she posted about, hey, is anyone in education interested in DAOs or decentralized autonomous organizations, which, you know, we won't get into that at the moment, but it's this idea that people can gather together and coordinate to, you know, take on very complex challenges as an organization. And using this new technology called blockchain, I was like, whoa, like no one's talking about that in education. So I was like, me. And it was really exciting. We hit it off right away, and we knew we had to do something. And exploring this new technology and other emerging technologies and how they can impact teaching and learning. So that led us right into Ed3DAO.
And I love the one thing that you said. I'll probably get it wrong. Unstoppably curious. Is that what you said?
Unstoppably curious.
Unstoppably curious. Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's something that definitely resonates with me, because, and I'm sure you both get this too. It's like, well, what are you going to do next? And don't you ever take a break or whatever? But when you're in education, you really have to be like that on some level, because things are changing so quickly, especially when it comes to technology. And I think back to, well, we're not going to say what year it was whenever I went and got, like, you know, my certification and become a teacher, or how long I've actually been in the classroom, but just the way that technology has changed. And then I remember when smart boards were the biggest thing, and I didn't even want one. I didn't get it. I was like, it's just projecting on the wall. Like, why do I need that? And then I got the smart board and I saw some changes in what students could do, getting up and being more interactive in the classroom. And then, of course, from then till now, we've seen so many different things happen, but it always falls back to, like, the why are you using it? And I think there's a scary part of it too, and we could cover this potentially also, is like, with all of these emerging technologies and the work that you're doing within your schools and with schools, I know when I've done some speaking to teachers at different conferences about some of these concepts, it feels like, well, it's not going to stick around. Oh, it's going to go away. And all of those things, it's like, it's not. And there are a lot of schools and organizations that are already using the different technologies and have been, and it's really impactful for learning. And so anyway, I am also very curious about a lot of things, which is why I started to learn about blockchain. And like, I still can't wrap my head around some of these things sometimes, even though I've been trying to learn more. So I'm really thankful to have you both here. And you've mentioned, and for people that don't know, you've mentioned Ed3DAO a couple of times. So whoever wants to share a little bit about what it is, what you do, and what it offers for educators.
Sure. And, you know, after I do this, I would love to dive into your questions and your because they're really important questions for people to grapple with, especially with AI. Purpose is often lost when technologies are introduced and hype cycles are introduced. So I think it's really important that we go into that. So Ed3DAO, we're a nonprofit that is helping educators upskill in technology, emerging technologies. And the reason we're doing that is because the world is evolving so fast. The workforce is evolving so fast. And if we're expected to help our students be prepared for real life, then we have to meet the demands of the workforce. We have to meet the demands of the evolving world. And educators are often finding themselves with a lack of resources, especially in rural and low-income areas. They're often finding themselves with really bad PD. Like the reputation of professional development has, like, decreased so much over the years, and people are just, like, not happy with the way that they're, you know, gaining skills, you know, through very didactic PDs. And so our thesis is that if we can provide really engaging and important professional development around the upskilling of technology for teachers, then we can help move the needle for students and help them get to, you know, the evolving world and sort of like stay up with that. So that's sort of what we do. And we do it through a few different things. Number one is we try to provide as many free opportunities as possible. We do a lot of virtual learning events, a lot of in-person learning events. In fact, we're trying to mobilize our community by actually paying our community members. We're giving away $50,000 to our community members to host decentralized learning events. And through that sort of grant that we launched about 6 months ago, we've seen events in Nigeria, Jamaica, Australia, Colombia, all over the US and India. And so it's been really rewarding to see people doing that. So the free learning events is like really, really important to us. We also partner with universities to provide coursework for teacher development programs and continuing education units. And then we also do a summit every year, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. One of the coolest part about our community is through those activities, we sort of organically created a community where people are exchanging ideas and helping each other around the world. In fact, we have a partnership with Idaho State University for courses that we've developed for them. And the students the teachers that are taking those courses are actually coming into our community and asking more questions and reflecting on those courses. So now they have this global community to talk to about all of the ideas and all of the technology that they want to experiment with. So that's our goal. And just so you know what our broader mission is, like we want to educate 1 million educators. And the reason we chose that number is because over the lifetime of an educator, they are impacting approximately 3,000 students. So if we can help 1 million educators, then we can help 3 billion students. And that's why that number is so important to us.
That is a lot of students. I don't know, but I always wondered why it was that specific number. So that makes sense. And yeah, that impact would be phenomenal. So thank you for sharing all the information about it. Because I think that I'd first seen a post probably on Twitter or LinkedIn and had joined in the event. It was in November of that year. And I was sitting right where I'm sitting now. And I remember hearing somebody, and I told this story like four times this year already at conferences. And I heard somebody say, "Hey, Rochelle," and I literally jumped and slid back in the chair because I felt like they were like right behind me and I knew nobody else was home. And it was the most interesting yet I don't want to say awkward, but it was just so different and
spontaneous.
Yeah. And I just was like, wow. And so I'm really looking forward to the next one that's coming up, which we'll talk about. But Mike, to you, anything else that you'd like to add beyond what Vriti said?
Yeah, just I think one of the So the foundation of our organization is our community. That is really the foundation of our work. And so in saying that, there's a couple of things. Like we have focused on emerging technologies, but we get contributions from across our different membership to do different kind of sessions within the community, both in person and virtually as well. And so we really want to be responsive to the needs of our community members. I think that's something that we really pride ourselves on is we are educators. We're not telling educators what they need to do. We're reacting to what we hear is needed in education. And that's partially because a lot of our community is made up of educators. So I think that's a really important distinction or a distinctive factor in terms of, you know, what drives us in our work is that we really want to be responsive to the needs of our community. And that's going to continue to change over the life of this organization, just as technology changes. So everything Vriti had said, but I just really wanted to emphasize and drive home that point that, you know, we really want to be a community that's bottom up in terms of the approach to what we offer.
Yeah. And I think too, even with AI, just in the last, I guess, 6 years now, when I first started to do presentations, I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do this. And oh, it's time to do that. And I dove into it. I didn't know that much about it, but then there was excitement, but still that hesitancy with it because it's like, oh, it's a new thing. Like, oh, it's been around since the middle of the last century. So it's not really a new thing. But just the rapid advancement in the last, since the end of, 2022, but then these other concepts and things that are coming up. And some people have never heard of, NFTs, blockchain, metaverse, Web3, and a lot of those. And in a lot of cases, and this I can say, like, I fall into this as well, is you may think that it doesn't apply to you because you're people would say, like, I'm just a whatever teacher. I'm just a Spanish teacher. I'm just a third grade teacher. Like, I can't do anything with any of these concepts. So why do I need to learn about it? And that's probably the biggest question that I get. And I don't know if you have had similar experiences where people are like, yeah, I don't see the relevance, how it applies to education now, to, you know, elementary 6-year-old kids. If you have been asked that, you know, what do you say to educators either who have asked you that, or if somebody that's listening is like, I'm not so sure about how this fits into like the world that I existed in my classroom?
Yeah, we can definitely tag team this. I'll start with a few points, which is the world is moving so quickly, and there's so many technologies that are being applied to the way that we operate. Oftentimes, teachers are given the technology and have no say in how it actually functions in the classroom. If you think about how ed tech sells to schools, it is a very top-down approach. And oftentimes teachers are forced to use technology in their classroom, right? So when you talk about that purpose piece, where what you were saying before, like sometimes the purpose is lost because teachers are just like, okay, well, I have to implement this technology because I was told by my principal to do it. And so one of the things that we really are trying to push for here is if you can get in on early to learning about these technologies, then you can be a decision maker in the process. You can actually decide where that technology goes and how that is applied to education and be a voice for actually shaping the way that educators consume that technology. So that's the first thing, which is it's a very empowering thing, right? Knowledge is obviously empowering, but knowledge of technology is especially empowering, right? The other thing is there are ways that, you know, technologies that we maybe haven't heard about, like blockchain, have been embedded into other industries for years, right? So for example, blockchain has been embedded into the manufacturing industry for at least 10 years. They've been looking at supply chain manufacturing and how we track our goods and services through blockchain systems and infrastructure. Now, the way that it's being applied to education right now is through credentialing. That's the most common use case, which is blockchain allows for students to own their own data and be able to create a wallet that allows them to sort of unbundle the learning that they're having. So they can get a credential from their university and from the community college they were going to and their work and their internship and so on and so forth and put it all together into a lifelong learning resume. And you can do that through a decentralized system like blockchain. But that's just one example, right? That's just one example of how people are being really creative with it. And the bottom line is, you know, we thought that AI might not be applicable to education, but then somebody came out with this killer tool that is taking over the world called ChatGPT. And all of a sudden, AI is really, really, you know, important to people. What if an educator was the one who came out with that tool? Right? Because they were so well informed about AI that they actually created it specifically for education. How different would the industry be? And how well informed would our teachers and our students be if they actually were empowered in that way? So that's really what we're trying to do, which is like, it's not okay that teachers don't want to learn about how the world is evolving. It's not okay that teachers don't want to use a computer. It's not okay that teachers are completely, you know, sort of analog with everything they're doing, because that does not create efficiency. That does not create, you know, alignment with how the future is evolving. And then the last thing I'll say before I pass it to Mike is technology is a game changer. The internet was a game changer for the world. It allowed us to do so many things that we could never possibly do. It has allowed us for information exchange. It's allowed us for being able to, you know, travel in ways that are, you know, not physical. It's allowed us to build things, you know, that we've never been able to build, to do things that we've never been able to do. AI is similar. AI is the next horizon, right? AI is very similar to the internet, but AI is not the last one, right? There's going to be plenty of other technologies that come out that are going to be just as pivotal, right? But we can't put a blind eye to all of that. We have to, you know, stay informed so that we can evolve as the world evolves, as I've said, I'm sorry, 100 times at this point.
No, that's and I do want to hear from Mike too, but the thing that really catches me, I mean, like the technology piece and just the internet and all of those things. And I can remember back when I was doing my undergrad, like I mean, computers came out a long time ago, and I was a kid and was so excited to start coding. The computers didn't really do anything. They took forever to log on, but there was still that wow, like, wow, I created something, or wow, I can play a game on this. And then I remember sitting in a room and sending an email to somebody that was in the same classroom. And I said to my teacher, and this is in college, I'm like, why can't I just turn around and talk to them? Like, why do I have to send the email when they're like sitting right behind me? And then fast forward, just, I mean, sometimes you have better cell reception. You can access things quicker, you know, from around the world than you can when you're just walking through your house, talking to somebody that lives in the same town as you. And it's just unbelievable how much has changed. And that's why I love teaching my STEAM course to eighth graders, because I think about my, you know, eighth grade me and how I was so excited about the technology that we had, which was nothing compared to what we have today. But it makes me excited to see what the changes are going to be in the next 5-10 years. But when I joke with my students, I'm like, when you're my age, and they've got some time to go for that yet. But I love that, you know, that you say, like, we have to, like, you can't just stop and you can't just like ignore it because it's all around you. And I read something the other day, they're like, no, you just need to buckle up because like, we're moving. And if you're not buckled in, you're not ready to go, like, you're gonna be left behind. And as educators, like, we can't be left behind because we have to move our students forward. So
yeah,
that is where, oh, go ahead.
Just to add to that, like, the world is full of possibilities, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that you can't do if you have the right tools.
Right.
And so if we can help our students and our teachers access technology through that mindset, then I think everything changes, right? You can build anything, you can do anything, you can monetize off of anything, but you can't if you refuse to, you know, even think about it.
Right, right. Thank you. And Mike, over to you, because I'm sorry, I get all excited when I hear all these things.
No, it's okay. No, what you said really landed for me when you asked the question. And I remember I started my first year in the classroom was 2008. And I remember the teacher that I replaced, kind of the running joke was like, email, what's that? And it's funny because, you know, that was 2008. So it wasn't all that long ago. And history doesn't repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And what I mean by that is, fast forward from 2008 through 2010s, 2015, 2020, you know, what we've seen in education is broad adoption of hardware and software that are in the purpose of, you know, serving students. And largely when you go to classrooms, I had this one blog I did, and it's probably like copyrighted somewhere. So I didn't intentionally try to steal it, but it's like taking a picture from a 1905 classroom and dropping a Chromebook on it. You know, all the kids are still sitting in rows. It's all teacher centric. You know, it's all lecture, and then kids regurgitate on a quiz and a test. And so, you know, when we think about, the last wave of technology, and there's, you know, two waves. There was like the hardware wave where we got Chromebooks and iPads and whatever devices for our students. And then there was a software wave that came after it, which really digitized a lot of like old practices. And so I think just to kind of plus point what Vridi was saying, you know, through that last couple of waves of technology integration and education, we largely just digitized old practices, you know, and that's not adequate to meeting the needs of our kids who are graduating. You know, our kindergartners are going to graduate in like 2040, something like that. What, 12, 13 years from now? 2035. Wait, 2037. Terrible math. But, you know, I think that's something that's really important to keep in mind. And so, you know, as we are teaching, you know, we have an opportunity. We have a responsibility to ensure that technology is being leveraged in a way that meets the needs of our students for tomorrow. And that's really, really important to keep, you know, focus on. And so when we talk about all these new technologies, what I think is really exciting and why should we care? Why should we care about AI and VR and blockchain? You know, Vridi talked about blockchain. I think VR is, and AR is just about ready to hit its next renaissance. You know, the Apple Vision Pro is, you know, another big step towards mass adoption of this kind of technology. And while not everyone has a headset and is walking around the city, and, you know, of course there's videos of that and it looks hilarious now, but it also would look hilarious when you're holding, you know, the world's information center in your hand with a cell phone. And so over time, we'll see broad adoption of new technologies that enable that AR and VR experiences for anyone, including our students. AI is going to accelerate a lot of that work and make it more accessible. And I think, you know, one of the things that we've talked about in education for a long time too is personalized learning, student-centered learning, differentiation. You know, if you, I remember the Danielson framework. So I work in Pennsylvania, of course. You know, Rochelle, you know this, the Danielson framework is kind of like the hub of all things teaching, as it is across many states. You know, and we talk about ensuring that students are getting what they need. And as a teacher in a classroom of 25 kids, it's really hard to meet the needs of every single student in there. And we're now approaching a time where AI and different types of learning technologies will enable personalization at scale. And that's really exciting. Because as a teacher, if I were in the classroom and I have the capability to use these technologies to support my students, my learners in the ways that they need to, and allow me to do the best part of teaching, and that is connecting with kids, like that is the best thing that could happen in education in my mind, is that I can go back to being a teacher and my kids can get exactly what they need. So I'm really excited for that future. And, you know, it's only going to happen if we make it happen. And so that's part of what I do day to day in my school, is trying to bring that next wave of technology and in a way that teachers can really take advantage of it. And that's really what we're doing at Ed3DAO, is helping teachers prepare for that next wave of technology and be a part of the narrative that we write for the future of education.
Yeah. And one thing that you said there too, and I'm probably blank on exactly how you said it, but it was tying into the lines of like the AI and the fact that, you know, it can give us so much time back. And Reedy kind of said this too about the, you know, the efficiency and things that you can use it for. But of course, always thinking about like the why. Am I taking a worksheet, you know, looking at the SAMR, like, am I just taking this worksheet and now it's online? Hey, I use technology. Okay, but it didn't do anything to enhance it. But when it comes to AI, you know, when I've done sessions at conferences or I've done like PD training, I use a survey and I always ask, there's a lot of different questions I ask, and some of them are tied into my own personal interests and research. But I ask about, you know, what are your concerns, or, you know, what questions do you have? And I'm surprised at how, I mean, initially when ChatGPT, the big disruptor, came out, there was like, it's the end of teaching, you know, the kids are never going to do anything. And there's all these concerns, and that kind of tapered off a little bit. But I think there was so much, you know, kind of like a frantic feeling and worry and concern and, you know, apprehensiveness to it, because there wasn't training provided. There wasn't enough knowledge. There weren't opportunities for teachers to really like learn about it. And even to this day, I did a session not that long ago, and out of the 200 or so people that were in my session, 87% of them had not yet tried ChatGPT or any other large language model. And I was really surprised by that. But then 98% of them had not had any PD related training on AI. So then I'm like, okay, so you need to give time for that. But when, you know, when I look at the comments, it was, well, this is not for young students, or I don't plan on using any AI in my classroom. And then I had to come at it with a different approach. Like, okay, so I have people that really don't want to do this, and they're in this training. And I understand that, because it's another thing. But then when you show like easy ways, or how it can, like, okay, yeah, you're using technology, but then you have extra time to spend with your students or to work with your colleagues, and you see the benefits of it, and you just take that first step. But I also get the time factor of it. But then when you have communities and what you're providing, both just every day and how you connect and communicate, you know, all of the things that are happening out there with people and the events that you are throwing and hosting and also a part of, it makes it easier. And I think the thing that makes PD difficult is it's been thought of so long as something that, you know, you don't have any choice in. It has to be done within the walls in the place in your school, when in fact, just like people that are listening to us talk, this is PD. You're going to learn about something that, you know, you didn't know about, or now you have some other place to go and learn more about it. So I don't want to be the only one talking about it, but I get so excited when I hear things that really resonate with me, and hopefully they'll resonate with some others that are listening too. But we should probably shift to a little bit more of things that are coming up and opportunities. So Reedy, I don't know which you would like to talk about first, or if you have questions or things that are on your mind now too that you'd like to address also. Whatever works.
I actually think it's a perfect segue into Ed3 Summit, just because you said a couple of things that I think we're trying to change. One thing you said is PD is something that kind of happens to teachers and they don't really have choice around what they're doing. You also said that, you know, a lot of educators that you work with don't have access to PD. And so they're, you know, sort of ignorant to what's happening with ChatGPT and how useful it could be to them. And they're fearful because they don't know what it is. And so that's really what we're trying to, push away from, right? We're trying to basically create opportunities that are accessible, affordable, if not free, for educators around the world. We're trying to make technology as palatable as possible through pedagogy. So that's something that I didn't mention before, but a lot of the work that we do is not like, let's teach you about ChatGPT. It's about, let's teach you about universal design for learning and how ChatGPT can make it easier, right? Let's teach you about, immersive learning and contextualized learning and how virtual environments can really enhance that. So it's really about like the purpose, as you were saying before, for how we can actually enhance the work that we're already doing that's already research-based and that, we know to be, good practice in education. We're not moving away from any of the pedagogy that we really believe in. So Ed3 Futures is a summit that we do every year. And Rochelle, we're so grateful that you were there last year. It was like such a delight for us to find out that you had written an article about it afterwards. The Ed3 Futures Summit is a one-of-a-kind summit. So we had the very first version of it in 2021, and it was the first metaverse environment, or I guess you could call it a virtual environment because I don't think people use metaverse anymore, but virtual environment where educators got to choose their own learning adventure, right? So you were a little 2D avatar, imagine like Zelda or like your old 8-bit video games, and you could walk around and you could choose between a mastermind about AI or a learning lab about universal design for learning, or go to the cafe and have a conversation with another teacher, or go and check out a tool with a vendor, or not do any of that and go hide in the bushes and have a conversation with a new educator friend that you met, which actually has happened, where we've had educators meet each other in the space and they get so enthralled in conversation that they actually just stay there for 2 hours having a conversation with an educator they've never met. So like those kind of experiences are what we really love the summit for, because you can do that in avatar-based environment, but you can't do that in a Zoom environment where you're just a floating head and you don't have any agency about where you can go or what you can learn, right? It's like sort of a linear path to learning, whereas these avatar environments are really a dynamic path to learning. And one of the reasons we do them is because we want educators to experience firsthand what it would be like if they created this kind of space for their students. And I'll give you a really quick anecdote. Are you familiar with Reggio Emilia, the pedagogy for early childhood? So it's like, it's one of my favorites. And it's basically a hands-on learning, project-based learning, query-based learning program for early childhood education. It's from Reggio Emilia, Italy. And it basically sort of recognizes the child as a citizen. It focuses on emergent curriculum. So the curriculum comes out of the child's interests and passions and expertise. And it's very, very hands-on, very project-based learning. So I went to Reggio Emilia, where like in Italy, where it was actually invented, and they actually have schools in the 1940s, where they have schools that have been operating for years, right? And I was like, I'm going to get the best PD ever. And most of the PD was me sitting in an auditorium and people talking at me. So can you imagine it is literally one of the most beautiful pedagogies that focuses on project-based learning. And they expected me as an adult to learn about it by just being talked at. And so there's this dissonance, right, between how we are taught as educators versus how we are expected to teach students. And so one of the things that we're trying to do with the summit is really align that. How can we get educators to experience what they should be doing with students? So just an overview, it's a three-day event. The first 2 days are programmed where you can choose between a number of activities. And again, you're an avatar, so you can walk around where you wish. And the third day is actually a complete unconference. So we hand over the reins to our participants and we open up a Miro board and we actually have them create the schedule themselves. And then they walk themselves to whatever room they've scheduled, sessions in. And we did this last year for the very first time ever. And it was the most beautiful thing I've seen in a virtual environment. People were treating it like a real conference space, like they were there in real life, and just walking themselves over to the learning environments that they wanted and having conversations and adjusting as they needed. Like there was one situation where one of the rooms that somebody had pitched wasn't filled. There was nobody in there. So that person basically walked themselves over to another host's room and started talking to them about how they could collaborate on co-facilitating it. And then they co-facilitated another room. It was just like the coolest thing to see, where like they really did have agency. So that's happening. It's on April 19th through the 21st of this year. And we've tried to make the tickets really economical. We've made them $45 for the entire weekend. But we're also actually offering for rural and underserved communities, we're actually offering to sponsor tickets as well. So if anybody who hears this podcast, if you're part of a rural underserved community, you can ping us and we will be happy to sponsor your entire staff to come to our event. So that's really exciting for us to do too. And basically anyone who buys a ticket for $45, which again is not a lot at all, you're actually sponsoring tickets for underserved and rural communities around the world, not just in the US, but all over the world. So yeah, so that's the experience.
Yeah, and I know that Mike's gonna, I want Mike to add something to that as well. I feel like I'm always interrupting Mike, but the thing that when I joined it, it was, like I said, just like, oh, just a little avatar, and then hear the conversations, and somebody says my name, and you put the camera on and talk to them. But when I do this, when I talk about it in conferences, and I pull the images up, and I say like, okay, imagine like all of you that are sitting here, you think, why did I come into this session? And I want to go to this other session. And it's like the whole way down the hall, I was like, you got to pack up your stuff and, you know, walk out the door. The door is probably going to slam. Like I really like go, you know, outlandish with it sometimes. I said, but when you're in this space, you just like your avatar just zoops, you go through a little portal and you're like, ta-da, you're in this other room, other space. And I said, it really is the coolest thing. And I, you know, I've had an opportunity for over the last couple of months, I did a session on all these things we've been talking about. And, you know, I've been telling people like, it's only $45. Like it is, I said, it is so worth it. You have to do it because it's unlike anything else that you've experienced. And I think sometimes people look at it and think it's similar to Zoom or Teams, and you are connected in those spaces, but you don't feel that same connection like you do, like what I did, where I really felt like somebody was standing hovering over me in my chair. So if you have it, or like you said, that's really awesome. That you have the tickets that you provide. And I love how you said that, just think the $45 that you're spending is helping somebody else to attend that otherwise would not be able to, and from around the world. So that is amazing. So thank you for that. And Mike, over to you after Rochelle is done speaking.
Yeah, no worries. No. So Reed talked a lot about like the sort of the structure of the conference. It makes it so unique. And the one thing that's really awesome is just like, you know, you can roll out of bed, you can stay in bed and just have a cup of coffee on the side table and join from the conference from there. So it makes it like really accessible in a lot of ways. So that part's really cool. The experience is definitely like otherworldly. It's definitely not like a Zoom conference, you know, where you click on and go into a room just with a Zoom meeting. You get to actually experience it. And I think that's part of the magic of it all, is that not only is the conference kind of walking the walk or talking the talk, you know, with metaverse spaces and immersive learning, it's walking the walk. Right. So you get that experience of being there, seeing what a 3D or an immersive environment can look like and what learning can look like there. So you know, it helps kind of get your imagination going in that way. And then the other thing I would add too is that we've been really diligent about you know, reaching out across a variety of different communities and spaces to find speakers who can really appeal to our educator audience. And that includes talking about all sorts of things like new AI technologies, talking about Web3 and what that means for education, talking about entrepreneurship, and how all these new technologies can really be used to leverage in a classroom environment. And so we have people who are teachers, superintendents, curriculum directors. We have founders and builders in different spaces. We have community leaders from different projects in like the Web3 space. We have, Coinbase. We have them coming as well, talking about Web3 and education. Talking about different types of learning models. So, you know, I think most of us experience school in much the same way, you know, very top down. And that's true for both teachers and students. You know, we work in very hierarchical systems. There's other ways you can do schooling, and some people are doing it already. And that's one of the things that I'm really excited. One of the sessions I'm super pumped for is learning about new school models and how they're thinking about teaching and learning in new ways. And so, there's something for everybody, and we keep it all focused on education and how do we improve education models and systems we have today. So really broad cross-section that we have, and it's going to be across four specific themes. That's the future of teaching, the future of learning, the future of community, and the future of work. And so all those sessions are organized within those four themes, and they're able to you're able to choose from across that throughout the course of the conference.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I will put the link to the event in the notes, and then also to the E3DAO site, because on that site, if educators are thinking, wow, this is great, but it's just for this weekend and I want more, or I want to learn a little bit before, like, you have a whole site that offers so much. So I don't know if you want to add anything about what people can find there in the community that you've created and how they can actually connect with you. I know you're always sharing things on LinkedIn and different spaces. There's all these spaces, but if you wanted to add anything about that as well.
Yeah, the best way to pop into our ecosystem of resources is to join our Mighty Networks. So we have a community channel, a community platform where we meet with each other, talk about, you know, different things. It's asynchronous. We actually started pretty actively creating content for AI so that educators can stay well informed about what's going on. And we just launched, which has been very popular, this page on our website that basically aggregates every AI learning event for education around the world so that you can just have one place where you do it. And the reason we did that was because we were doing it for ourselves anyway, and we were doing it for our community. So we were like, we might as well make this open source. And so if you go to our website and you go to the AI events bank, you'll see all of the AI events that we've aggregated around the world. And you can also submit AI events. So we're happy to, we're not promoting anyone's except for our own, really. We're not really, you know, we're not partnered with anyone. We don't, you know, advertise. We don't do any of that. We're literally just doing it so that educators can get access to more opportunities. So if you want to submit an event, we're happy to post it for you.
I love that. Like, you, it's clear it, if anybody has learned anything, I mean, they've learned a lot of things in our conversation, but something that I think just resonates and just it's evident, I should say, throughout is how much you do care about helping educators and students and providing all that you can, which I'm sure is exhausting, but super rewarding all at the same time, because you're putting on these events, which that is no small feat to design something, especially a 3-day online event with all the organization. I know you have a great team of people that help you with that, that I got to meet on my first experience in joining in. And so it is definitely rewarding. And besides that, you have all of those other things available too for educators. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, Rochelle, I'll say that, like, you know, I think the reason we have thrived in the last 2.5 years and are continuing to thrive upwards is because of our community and because of how committed they are. We've got educators around the world that have volunteered, you know, 15, 20 hours a week for us without expecting anything in return, because they care so deeply about helping other educators. Mm-hmm. And we meet people like you, Rochelle, who, you know, you've been such an incredible advocate of what we're doing, not because, you know, we've asked you to, or not because, you know, there's anything that you're, you know, necessarily monetarily getting in turn, but because you really believe in, you know, the shared mission of really elevating our profession. And that's really what keeps us going. And so we figure if everybody around us is willing to, you know, devote their time to that, then we need to make sure we support them and uplift them. So, like, I'm constantly thinking, and, you know, I've sent you a million emails about, like, how can I support Rochelle and get her the things that she needs to thrive in her role, right? And I'm always trying to help people connect with each other. And it's like, if we don't do that for each other, then we're not going to evolve education. We're not going to achieve our mission and vision of creating a better world. And that's just point blank. That's it, period. If we don't support each other, it's not going to happen. And so that's, like, really important for us to do that.
I love how you said that too. That's it. Point blank. Yeah. And I do appreciate that. And you do send emails and opportunities and things. And I'm always so thankful for that. And you're right. Like, when you hear of something or you think there's an opportunity that might be a great fit for somebody, or, you know, you're looking for ideas, like, this is really a great community for that. Or if you're interested in learning more, I'm sure that you have things that need to be done and you need some people that need, that would be great to fill in some of that, the workload that goes into all the planning and providing all that you do. So thank you for that. And Mike, anything else that you wanted to add?
Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, I think we really hit the nail on the head. We really benefit from the community that we have. And, you know, we're very much want to work together, be collaborative in the space. And so as a community, we want to help not just aggregate AI events, but aggregate talent and perspectives and, you know, awesome folks who are coming from across the space who are willing to give their time or come just learn with us, because it's more fun together. So, you know, really excited for what comes next and really thankful for all the support we've had from our community so far.
Yeah, well, I am excited for the event coming up. Can't wait, because I like the idea of just, you know, sitting down with a cup of coffee and your pajamas, most comfy clothes, no camera on, and just learning and like meeting some new people and just seeing what happens and all the new ideas, because I'm always looking to learn more, because clearly it's not an area I know a lot about, but super interesting and fascinating. And I love sharing it with my students too. So, but anyway, we've had a great conversation. We're probably going to have another conversation too, because like there's so much to talk about, and so we can have you come back on and chat. You're welcome at any time, because it's really a lot more fun actually talking to people rather than just myself. So I would like to thank you both for joining in today and sharing so much of what you do and all the opportunities that you provide for educators and for students.
Thank you so much for having us. It was an awesome conversation. And yes, we're down for any other conversations. When you speak, Rochelle, I've heard you speak a few times, and you're so good at like really being articulate about the realities of things, but still being hopeful. And so I really appreciate that perspective. And thanks for being the host.
Wow. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And both of you, and for everybody who's listening. So be sure to subscribe, share this episode with your friends, colleagues, anybody, and definitely sign up to join in the summit that's coming up very, very soon, because trust me, you do not want to miss it. So thanks for listening. We'll catch you the next time.